Let's go out to the Redline Energy Drink guest line, get an update on the NBA lockout from a friend of the program, Chris Sheridan, formerly of ESPN, now Indy. Congratulations on your independence, Chris, first. We'll start there.
Well, thanks, George. I worked for big, huge, enormous companies for 24 years, and now I work for a very, very small company, but I really like my boss.
Yeah, I would imagine. Now, let's get to the meat of this. Everyone is declaring gloom and doom. Everyone is declaring, for some reason today, D-Day of all days. I'm not buying either. Where are you on all this?
I'm with you. Today is not D-Day because the sun is going to rise in the east again tomorrow. They're going to come out of this big meeting today. There's going to be a lot of players there. The owners' negotiating committee, the players' negotiating committee is going to be there. Extra players are coming in. There's talk that Kobe Bryant will be there. These kinds of meetings tend to get a little out of control and a little out of hand. And yes, I expect the owners to put a better offer on the table, a much better offer, because they've been sticking with their 46% through thick and thin throughout the summer. There comes a time for them to move, and today's probably the time for them to start moving. But I don't think they're going to make one huge move. I think they're going to make a move today. Then we have Wednesday, and then we have Thursday for smaller groups to meet. And I still think if this thing gets settled without the regular season being delayed, the start of the regular season, it's going to be done in a walk around the block or in a small conference room, and there's going to be four guys there: Billy Hunter, Adam Silver, David Stern, and Derek Fisher. And so I really think the 11th hour is later this week. Today will be a nice show, and today will produce more doom and gloom, and today will probably produce some movement from the owner's side, but I don't think today is the 11th hour.
Yeah, I'm with you with all of this. I actually thought, and maybe I was being a little too optimistic, I thought that The D-Day to me was going to be about October 15th, because you could push the season back, the start of the season a little bit, still get maybe a week's worth of training camp, free agency, and everything ratified, and kind of get going a week behind schedule or 2 weeks behind schedule and still get the 82 in. Now, you're saying it's this week and that's fine. Here's the question I have for you. Is it true that the players would be willing to go as close to 50-50 or 50-50 on the BRI? Because I feel like if that's the case, then wouldn't they be absorbing basically all of the losses that the owners claim to be having this past year, the $300 million?
Well, if they put a 50-50 deal up for a vote, it's going to be a very close vote. Because there was a letter that went out from seven of the top agents in the game last night urging the players, don't accept any deal that goes lower than 53. And these guys got a lot of clients, probably about 40%, 50% of the league, and they have a lot of, you know, a lot of pull. What they say carries a lot of weight. So I think 51-49 could probably get ratified in a real close vote. I think 50-50 is what it is a toss-up. There may be a 50-50 deal that can look enticing to the players. Let's say the 50-50 deal keeps them at the same money where they were last year, $2.17 billion. Then you're not taking a cut this year. There's an amnesty clause in there that's going to clear out, you know, $100 to $200 million worth of cap room, and there's going to be money to be spent in the years ahead. There's got to be some sort of an enticement in there in any kind of a 50-50 deal. Mm-hmm. And I think if the owners don't reduce the salaries from where they were last year, that might be the enticement that gets a 50-50 deal ratified. But I think the union would much prefer to be at 52-48. I think 51-49 is probably the middle ground. I don't know that they're going to get there. If it goes to a 50-50 vote, again, I think there's got to be some kind of a carrot in there that we don't know about yet that may push some no votes and turn them into yes votes.
Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at SheridanHoops. The owners are claiming, by their math, right, they lost $300 million, yes?
That's their claim.
Okay. Now, I also read that if it is 52-48 in favor of the players, that they would be absorbing about two-thirds of those losses. Now, you mentioned the amnesty situation, possibly. But at what point do we hold the owners accountable here for, In some cases, I believe the Trailblazers are paying two and three GMs ago still, a couple of coaches ago still. At what point do we start holding these owners accountable for some of just the mismanagement of the money? I mean, because it always seems that people generally just blame the players. At what point do we hold the owners accountable in general?
Well, you make a great point. You always have to hold the owners accountable for making bad decisions, and you know, they make them every year depending on how much cap room is out there. Rashard Lewis hit the jackpot because he was a good player in a year when the Orlando Magic had max cap room. And then, you know, there come other years when there's no money out there. A couple of years back, Hita Turkoglu was the only guy who made any money, and that was only because he was coming off an appearance in the NBA Finals, but there just wasn't money out there. And then in the summer of LeBron, everybody had money, and there were a ton of horrible deals done by teams that missed out on LeBron. Look at some of the guys the New Jersey Nets signed, for instance. So, look, owners are always going to overspend and make mistakes. They do it in every sport. Basketball is no different. I think what you got to hold the owners accountable for at a certain point is not offering a deal to the players that the players would accept. And that's still where they are now by refusing to budge off their 46% offer, George. But remember, this is a negotiation, and David Stern is a very good negotiator. So David Stern doesn't want to creep up from 46 to 47 to 48. It's not the way he plays the game. He wants to take whatever the union gives him in a give back, put it in his pocket, and then walk away from the table and say, we'll see you again in a month, or we'll see you again in 2 weeks or 2 days, whatever it is. And he never moves. He moves, you know, not formally. They, you know, they have discussions, and they say, well, yeah, we'd kind of do that, and we'd be open to doing that. But when it comes time to put forth a number, where are we going to go on the split, David clams up. And that's been especially frustrating to the players' union, and that's one of the reasons why they decoupled the split from the discussions they were having on the salary cap system. And they've spent most of the last 2 days talking about what would be left in the new system and what would it look like in terms of the Larry Bird exception and the mid-level section and exception and max contracts and max raises and all the stuff that determines how the money that's going to the players is distributed to the players. But the moment of truth comes when David and the owners say to the players, okay, we're willing to give you X percent of the BRI. And what is X? Is it 50? Is it 51? Is it 52? It's got to be one of those three numbers. Because if they come in today and say we're going to give you 48, the players are just going to walk out.
Right.
It's going to be a point of no return.
Chris,
I think that's the only thing that makes today doomsday is if Stern makes such a small move that the guys just say, okay, enough of you, we're walking away, and we'll be willing to sit out the whole season. And I just don't think that's a reasonable or common sense approach from either side, and that's why I think David will come in with a number pretty close to where his final number is.
Chris, I have fans asking me, why is it that the players should make more money in this split? What is your answer to that?
Well, they've been making 57% of the money since 1998. Some years it went up into the 60s. But it's never gone below 57. So at a time when the league's coming off a real good season and, you know, ratings were way up, merchandise sales were off the charts, it's not an unhealthy business. And given that, the players, why should they be taking any cut at all? That's what the agents are saying. Most of the most prominent agents are saying, look, we should be sticking to our guns and trying to keep our 57. Maybe we go to 56 or 55, but, you know, that ship has sailed long ago. The players are already down to 53, 52, and a lot of the agents are angry and feel that Billy Hunter has mismanaged this negotiation by giving away too much too soon. So, you know, to answer the question, why should the players get more than 50-50? Because they've been getting more than 50-50, a lot more. And if you're a union, you try to get everything you can. You know, you count on your union leadership to give you a good salary, good pension, severance protection, all sorts of stuff, because you're a unionized employee. And it's your union leader's job to get you as much as he can. And why there's a lot of animus from the players and from the agents is because the union has really been forced into this sort of concessionary bargaining where They could start trying to hang on to what they had before, and they're not having any success doing that. So at what point have they given away too much? If you ask the agents, that point has passed already. But in the real world, what's taken place has already taken place, and now it's a question of are they close enough, and is David Stern and the owners willing enough to make that final push and to put a deal forward that can get ratified? Because that's the big thing, George. If they put a deal forward that can't get ratified, Billy Hunter's going to be out of a job. They're going to be back to square one. The union will probably decertify. It'll go into the courts, and the possibility of losing the entire season becomes a very real one.
Chris Sheridan, I almost did that. It was just the force of habit. Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com. Follow him on Twitter, at SheridanHoops. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you for making time for us.
Thanks, George, and thanks for plugging the site.
All righty, take care. That's Chris Sheridan joining us there. Great site. You should check out his new site. It's very good.